Today, the reading will be from John, the 21st chapter, verse 15 through 17. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my lambs." And he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep."
I hope you will take out your Bible and turn to John chapter 21. It's where we're going to focus our attention this morning. What has occurred up to this point is Jesus has now died on the cross. He's been resurrected, and he has on multiple occasions appeared to his disciples, convincing them that he is alive. And in this particular case, in John chapter 21, the apostles are sitting around. They're not really sure what to do. Jesus is kind of coming and going as he pleases. And Peter has this idea of let's go fishing. And so they go fishing, and it does not go well. They don't catch any fish until there's this guy on the shore who just says, "Yeah, you should cast your nets on the other side. Do it on the right-hand side." So they do, and lo and behold, they catch a bunch of fish. And John looks over at Peter and says, "That's Jesus." And Peter does the only reasonable thing you can do. He puts some clothes on and jumps in the water. And he swims over there, and then they have breakfast. And when they get done with breakfast, that's where Jesus starts asking him this question. And so we saw that in verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he repeats it in verse 16, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And again in verse 17, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And I'm going to ask the question, we're going to ask it not of Peter, but it's really the relevant question for us. And we're going to ask it not necessarily the way Jesus did. I'm going to say, "Do you love God?" But it really is also, "Do you love Jesus?" It's the same question. And I want us to look through here and make some observations, because this is the question that matters. And I start off with just this one. Why is Jesus asking this question? If Bonnie asks me, "Jared, do you love me?" I feel as though I've already failed. I feel like I've done something wrong. Because she should know. It should be so obvious. I should live in such a way that she never has any doubts. My actions should show it, and also my words should show it. So if she's asking me, "Do I love her?" I feel like something's gone wrong. Now, with Peter, it's kind of a weird question, though, because remember the whole putting clothes on and flinging himself? I mean, that's really how the New American Standard puts it. He threw himself into the lake, into the sea. He just plunged into the water. He has shown that Jesus is all that matters to him. So why is Jesus asking? And I don't actually know the answer to it. I don't know why Jesus is asking him this question at this moment, but I understand why this is the question to ask for every moment. Because this is what matters. Do you love God? See, in the Old Testament, God was not trying to create a people that were obedient. He was not trying to create a people that would behave a certain way. He was trying to create a people who would love him and therefore behave a certain way. So take, for example, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6. Hmm. pick up in verse 5. It says, "You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." In Joshua 22 in verse 5, it's the same combination. Joshua tells the people, you need to be careful to love him and keep his commandments. What God wants is not a people who behave a certain way. He wants a people that love him, that cling to him, that adore him. And so if we were to take all of the old law and say, what's the most important part of it? Well, Jesus was asked that, and he told us the answer, and it was this: love God with everything, with everything you've got. This is the most relevant question. Do you love God? Well, as we go back to John chapter 21, Peter, of course, is going to say, yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. If we're going to love God, we need to love him more. What an odd thing that Jesus asked in verse 15. Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And I suppose we could start off with just this idea of we need to love God more than anything. And isn't that true? So when I ask you, do you love God? I guess what I'm really asking you is there anything else that's more important to you right now? Is there anyone else that's more important to you right now? Jesus is asking, do you love me more? In Mark chapter 10, verses 37 through 39, if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to have this level of devotion. Sorry, I'm pretty sure I want Matthew 10. Either that or this Bible's really messed up and everything's all in the wrong place. Matthew 10:37 says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. When Jesus wants us to love him, when God is asking us to love him, he really wants us to love him above anything and everything. To love him more. Now, what Jesus said, though, in John chapter 21, Jesus says, do you love me more than these? And there's only two things that he can be referring to right there that I can see. They just finished breakfast, and he may be saying, do you love me more than the fish? But I kind of think that's not it. It's the disciples sitting around, the disciples who've been so long arguing who's the greatest. And Jesus is asking, do you love me more than they do? And that makes me wonder, is this love supposed to be a competition? And I don't know the answer to that. I want to say yes, and I want to say no, so I'm just going to say, I don't know. I don't know, is it a competition when two young people, and it always seems to be people before they're married, but that, you know, they're on the phone, they're getting ready to hang up or something and say, love you, and the other one says, love you more, and then it's the endless cycle. Love you more. No, I love you more. We don't do that once we get married. I don't know why not. I don't know that it's a competition, but I'll tell you this. It's not satisfactory for us to love you the same. We need to have a higher goal. If in your marriage you're satisfied to love your spouse as much as they love you, your marriage is going to fall apart very soon. Because as soon as your spouse does something that you don't like, you're like, ah, so that's the level. And now you're okay with that level. And imagine if you had within a marriage two couples that are just trying to love each other equally, no more. It's going to get lower and lower and lower until the love is gone. But imagine instead not seeing it as some sort of competition, but never satisfied, never, this is how much my spouse has loved me, but I will love them more, and is constantly increasing in their love. And you have the other one who says, this is how much my spouse loves me, but I will love them more. And now they are both increasing. You will have love that is always going up. If we're going to love Jesus, if we're going to love God, we always need to love him more. Increasing in our love, and not saying, well, I see how much people in the congregation love them, and we're about even, so it's okay. Always strive for more. But I don't think that we're supposed to be ranking it. You know, who loves God more this week? And have that's not in my notes, by the way. It's a terrible illustration. We're moving on. Okay. Jesus asks him, do you love me? And each time, Peter's responding, yes, I do. And to that, Jesus says, then do something. Serve me. Tend my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. Tend my sheep. If we love God, it's not about, I have this emotion. It's not about words. Those are all good. But it's really about action. I recently heard about a congregation that's struggling. They get together and they worship, and that's it. They don't talk to each other afterwards. Everybody leaves immediately. They don't see each other during the week. You call them, say, let's have a study. Nobody shows up. Let's pray. Nobody does it. They might say that they love God, but words are not enough. Peter says, I love you, and Jesus is saying, now do something with it. There's work to be done. This individual who was talking to me about that church was saying what to do, and this would be my answer. Get back to this message. It's not about how much time do I have. It's not about what's going on in my life. It's about how much do I love God. Because if we love God enough, we will be busy with his work. We will serve him. And we won't be overwhelmed by it. Genesis 29 and verse 20 gives us this beautiful picture of Jacob as he works to get married. He is puts himself in a position of servitude, of being practically a slave, so that he can marry this woman that he loves. And he has to do this for years, 7 years, no, not 7 years, 14 years, but it's just like a day to him because he loves her. When we love God and God's asking us to give up sin, it's not too much of a request from him. When we love God and God tells us that he wants us to worship him, and we might have to do that every week, it's not too much of a request for him. When we love God, anything we can do, anything we need to do, all of it, we have this tremendous attitude of it's not that big of a sacrifice. It's not that big, difficult. I'm not going to complain about it. You know why? Because I love the God whom I serve. Do you love God? In 1 John 5 and verse 3, it talks about these commandments that God has given us. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. I think that is at one time a statement about the nature of the commands. God hasn't actually asked us all that much. He hasn't really demanded that much of us, but I think on the other hand, it's about an attitude. And if we have a love of God, it means that we won't see them as burdensome. I have to go to church is not a statement of love. I have to go to church is. Same words, different attitude. And then I go back to John chapter 21 and I think about, do I love God? When Jesus says, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I do. Jesus doesn't just say, serve me. Jesus says, tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep, tend my sheep. It's not just serving him, it's actually serving the ones that are from him, the ones that he owns. Notice Jesus does not just say, shepherd the sheep. Jesus takes ownership of them and says, shepherd my sheep, my lambs. If we love God enough, we will love those who are from Him. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, this is kind of like an equation. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. So here it is. If you love God, you don't have much choice. You need to love Jesus. You know why? Because He is from God. This is what Jesus has been arguing the whole time while He was on earth. You have to accept Jesus in order to accept God. If you're trying to follow God but don't follow Jesus, you're not following God because God sent Jesus. If you're trying to love God without loving Jesus, you're not loving God because God loves Jesus. Now that does not stop there because then Jesus sent us. And Christians are of Christ, and they are of God. And therefore, if we don't love them, if we don't care for them, we don't love God and we don't care for Him. And so 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 and 20 and 21, if we must have love for one another. You want to ask, do you love God? Stop and look and see how you treat other Christians. And it is the answer. It is the answer as to whether you love them or not. Love God enough to love those who are His. And back in John chapter 21, and now let's go a little bit further than where we were. Because let's see what happens immediately after this. In John chapter 21, then picking up in verse 18, this is right after Jesus has asked him three times if you love him, and Peter has said three times that he does. Verse 18 says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished, but when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God, and when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Now, that's challenging. Jesus has just asked him three times, do you love me? And he said, yes, I do love you. And then Jesus said, you used to be free, but you're not going to be soon. You're going to be imprisoned. And John even points out that this is more than just you're going to be imprisoned. This is about how you're going to die. And then Jesus says, follow me. But look at that language that John put in here. Do you love God enough to see sacrifice to the point of death as opportunity to glorify God rather than tragedy? See that again in verse 19? Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. This goes very much along with what Dan was saying before the Lord's Supper. It talks about this idea of glorifying God while we're on earth, glorifying God through our actions, glorifying God through our death. And if we really love God, when we have to make sacrifices, whether it's sacrifice of life or of health or of wealth or of time or whatever it might be, we don't see it as sacrifice of losing something, but we see it as opportunity to glorify God and say, God, this is how important you are to me. Do you love God that much? And the last thing I want us to consider actually isn't in John 21, verses 15 through 17. It's what led up to it. Peter, when Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? And there's stuff going on behind the scenes, and there's different Greek words that are being used, and Jesus does change things a little bit. You know, do you love me more than these? He only asked that one time. But it says that Peter was grieved that he'd asked him three times. Peter sees this is three requests, three questions. Do you love me? And we just can't skip or miss or ignore the fact that just before that, just a few days previously, three times Peter was asked, do you know him? And Peter said, No. He didn't just deny his love. He denied knowledge. He denied any access, anything to do with Jesus three times. And now three times Jesus is asking him, do you love me? How did Peter say yes? When Jesus says, do you love me? Given what had happened, given that Peter had spent the night bitterly weeping because he had denied Jesus, he had failed him. He had hurt his friend. He had hurt his Lord, his master. He had done this thing he promised, I would rather die than do, and he had now done it. How did he find it within him to say, but yes, Jesus, I do love you? And it's more than that. Did you see what he did at the last time? In verse 17, when Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know what I did. You know how I failed you. And of course that's true. Jesus is the one who told him he was going to do it. You know all things. You know I love you. You know, we're not so different than Peter. Each one of us has failed God. And that's just not quite a strong enough term, is it? We can say we've sinned against God, and that's such a simple term in itself. We really have acted like we hate him sometimes. We have sometimes acted like he means nothing to us. I don't care what he thinks. I don't care what his rules are. There have been moments where we've done that. But don't let those moments keep you from loving him. Get up and be able to answer, you know. You can see deep into my heart and you know. I do love you. Why love Jesus? Why love God? Oh, there's so many answers to that. Peter has some good ones right here. I love him because he went to that cross for me. But how about this one? I love him because even though I did exactly what he said he would do, and I promised I never would, I promised I never would, I said I would rather die than do it, and I did it, Jesus just put me to work. You know what Jesus is doing here? When Jesus says, tend my sheep, shepherd my lambs, Jesus is saying, I trust you. Jesus is saying, I entrust you with what matters to me. And that's a Lord, that's a God worth loving. Do you love God? That's the question. It's the most important one. If you're not a Christian, we give you an opportunity to become one this morning, to dedicate your life to a God who gave his son for you. We give you an opportunity to set aside your sin and say, I'm going to go wherever Jesus sends me. I'm going to do whatever he wants me to do. To have your sins all washed away. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, it's time to take action. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. And we have water ready. Be baptized into him for the forgiveness of your sins, as we see within scriptures. If you are a Christian and you have fallen away, You've had that moment like Peter. I hope you had the follow-up like Peter as well. That you didn't just pretend like the sin was unimportant. Just ignore it. It'll go away. But had this moment realized, this is what I've done. And weeping bitterly. Because then you can be like Peter and be trusted by God once more. Won't you come back? He stands at your door knocking. He wants you to return, and we do too. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?